Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, New Year's edition, last week of the year edition, week 17 in the NFL. And Jimmy Trainor, one of your co-hosts, back as always with my partners, the Grambling brothers, Gary Grambling, senior editor of MMQB on SI.com. Gary, how are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. Getting psyched to wrap up this regular season here.
Yeah, and we got, as always, Scott Grambling, the managing editor of DRFSportsForum.com. Scott, how are you?
Doing great, Jimmy. Good to be here, as always.
Everyone had a good Christmas.
You bet.
What did we do with Raiders-Broncos?
I had the under.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was good. Started, it looked easy throughout, but then started to sweat a little bit at the end.
Yeah, a little excitement on Christmas Eve.
A lot of excitement. What's more exciting than the under in a game played in the mud on baseball?
And how are the Bulls treating everyone?
Bulls are treating me pretty well, okay. I have to say. How about that, what happens in confidence pools with that whole Boise State one?
You know, because I'm in one. Well, no, I'm in one where you got to do, you pick every game and then you pick three best bets and... Uh-huh. The people that as a best bet have to submit a new best bet. Confidence pool, that's a very good question.
I'll tell you what you should do, but most commissioners are not going to do this, is it should just get bumped down to one and everything get bumped up. So if you had it as like a 5 confidence,
right,
your 4 becomes a 5, so on and so forth. If you had it as a 28 confidence, everything should move up. So,
Scott, of course, talking about the Boise Boston College game that they canceled because of weather after playing a little bit of it with BC up 7-0.
Yeah, your solution does nothing for the people who were just watching that game for the love of the
Well, I bet Boise, so I was glad that they even at 7-0. I'm like, all right, shut it down. That's fine with me.
I was the same way.
Yeah, shut it down. All right, we've made it to week 17 in the NFL. Some of these games mean something, many do not. And we will take you through them and get you tidied up here, and then you can enjoy your Week 17 NFL Sunday and your New Year's Eve, and then the bowl games, and then we'll be back next week and get you set for the playoffs. So let's kick it off. This is a game where neither team is playing for anything. The Bills are giving 4.5 points at home to the Dolphins, total 39.5. The Bills got one of those beautiful covers last week at the last second. They were one of my picks. Scott, what do you got on this one?
You know, Dolphins in cold weather have not been a very good wager. 0-4 against the spread in sub-35 temperatures since the beginning of 2016. I know not a huge sample size, but Bills keep playing hard. And, you know, they were completely outmanned by the Patriots. And the Patriots, really, if they didn't turn the ball over as much as they did, would have covered that game. But the Bills kept fighting, and I think they're a team here that isn't just playing out in the string, and I worry that the Dolphins might be after that horrible loss at home to Jacksonville, the kind of loss that tends to get coaches fired. Yeah.
And there is some heat on Adam Gase, it seems like, at least there was earlier this week. Gary?
I think Gase might be the only guy who survived. Sounds like
Tannenbaum's supposed to go, clearing out
everyone and the quarterback as well might be gone here. Yeah, I agree with Scott on this one. Even without the cold weather, I mean, Dolphins have dropped, 6 straight outright on the road, and they've lost against the spread in 5 of those 6. They're done. They're playing out the string here. I'd go Buffalo in this one.
I love the under 39.5 in this game. I think, like you both of you said, Miami going to cold weather, playing out the string here. They just want the season over with. I don't think this is going to be a prolific game where points are concerned. The next game, another one I think that we're only basically invested if you have a wager. The Packers are giving 7.5 at Lambeau to the Lions. Total 44.5. Gary, you had the Lions in the NFC title game, and now they're just playing out the string here.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know if some of these teams are involved in some sort of scandal where they have to sacrifice wins. So it's not over yet for the Lions. But I like them getting the points. I like Detroit here. That's getting a touchdown and a little bit maybe. This Packers team, a little bit encouraging what they did last week. Finally showed they could put up some points again. As far as the Lions go, they've been all right defensively. I don't want to say they've been good defensively. I think they've overachieved defensively the last couple of weeks here. They stink offensively, but, I don't know. Packers, What are they playing for at this point? I think this is one where the Lions kind of hang around and maybe Mason Crosby kicks a meaningless field goal to win it by three in the end.
Yeah, if I had to play it, I would take the Lions just because they're getting the points, but this isn't a game that you can really have any angle on. Two teams playing for nothing. Stay away. If I had to take it, I would just take the points.
I'm with Scott. This is a big stay away. I'd lean Packers only because I think maybe, I don't know, last game at Lambeau, Rodgers seems to be just chucking it up, and Matt Patricia, another one who he could be a one and done there if you know, it doesn't seem like he's head coach material, so we'll see how that goes. The Texans are at home. They can clinch a division title with a win on Sunday, giving 6.5 points to the incoming Jaguars with Blake Bortles back at the helm. Total 40. Scott, does Blake Bortles get a last week cover here?
He could. This is another game I'm staying away from. The Jaguars have at least been competitive past couple of weeks. I guess really only last week. I don't know if you can call it competitive. losing by three to this Redskins team, the state that they're in right now. But another game I'm staying away from here. I mean, Houston's offense has averaged only 220 total yards per game over the past three meetings with the Jaguars. A game where they put up 20 points on Jacksonville when they played back in October. This Texans team is not one that I'm expecting to blow out too many opponents. And because of that, I'm staying away. If I had to play it, I don't even know which way I would go. I think the number's about right at about 6 or 7.
Gary?
I'll tease the finale of this show and say I'm really going back and forth whether or not to best bet the Jaguars on this. I really do like them in this game. I think they're a great matchup with the Texans. Even earlier this year when I believe I actually best bet the Jaguars in that game too back in week 7, it was a 20-7 Texans victory, but Texans only had 272 yards of offense. Jaguars can overwhelm this offensive line. Demaryius Thomas is out, so basically you have literally one weapon for Deshaun Watson here, and the Jaguars have Jalen Ramsey. They have A.J. Bouye. They have guys who can counter DeAndre Hopkins on this team. I think it's a really good matchup for the Jaguars. The only thing that gives you pause is, you know, will Blake Bortles have a bunch of ugly turnovers, which is how they ended up losing by 13 points to the Texans earlier this season. But, you know, this Jaguars defense, look, it, 4 weeks ago, they shut out the Colts. They held the Redskins to 16, and they held the Dolphins to 7. They gave up 30 in that Derrick Henry short week night. But I like the Jaguars a lot. It's just, can I squint and look past Blake Bortles? But as I've been saying for a while, at least it's not Cody Kessler, so you have a chance to score points.
Hey, Cody Kessler kept a minute against the Dolphins, boy, so you can tell Bortles cleaned it up. This is a huge stay away for me. I mean, listen, if you tell me Blake Bortles, after the embarrassment of getting benched for Cody Kessler, comes in and plays a good game, I wouldn't be shocked. If you tell me he threw four picks, I wouldn't be shocked. So I will pass on this one heavily. The next game, AFC East rivals, the Jets go into New England. Patriots, 13.5-point favorites, win, and they clinch a first-round bye. But they have struggled big time on offense. And the total here is 44.5, Gary.
I have a Patriots lean being at home in this one, but I probably wouldn't play it just because, look, a month ago we all said, well, Jets, lame duck coach, they got nothing to play for. They look like they're not playing for anything. And all of a sudden, I mean, look, the last 2 weeks, I know they didn't cover, but, you know, those are a couple of are a couple of tough against the spread beats there. I mean, they go to overtime with the Packers, and really, you know, they were right there with the Texans. They just, Houston had to kick a field goal late because of the way the time management played out. So I'd lean Patriots, but with very little confidence this week.
I think Brady's definitely hurt. I think, you know, Gronk is hurt. They have the weapons there with Michelle and James White where they can dink and dunk and run it, but this is not the explosive Patriot offense. So when you see 13.5, it's interesting, Scott.
Yeah, it's not the explosive Patriots offense. Last year, season finale, they beat the Jets by 20, and they didn't even look good doing it. They beat them 26-6. I think this is another case here where that's it for the Jets. Like, I just don't think the Jets are really even going to show up in this one. I mean, New England is 7-0 straight up at home this season. Those seven wins include five double-digit victories. The only teams they haven't beaten by at least 10 points at home are the Texans, who are playoff bound, and the Kansas City Chiefs, who are playoff bound. So they have, for the most part, really taken care of what they needed taken care of against the relatively inferior opponent. And it's not like all the other opponents have been terrible ones. They've won by two touchdowns over the Packers, over the Vikings, over the Colts. So, you know, these are decent opponents. I just feel like this is a spot here where the Jets are halfway out the door. Pats get up on them early, and they just use the run game to control this game. The way they did against the Bills, I just don't think they're going to make the mistakes that they did against Buffalo, because the Jets defense isn't nearly as opportunistic as what the Bills defense is. So I like the Pats here. Not enough that I'm going to best bet them, but it's a game that I'm going to be attending, so I will probably get some action in on it.
I kind of like the Jets. I just think I'm very worried about the Patriot offense, and even a bad Tom Brady is still better than pretty much every quarterback, but I could see the Jets here playing an inspired game, because it probably will be the last game for Todd Bowles. And like you said, they played hard against the Packers and then, of course, choked it away, which is the best result they could have. Go get the draft pick, the higher draft pick. But I think the line is so high, the Jets would love nothing more than to, you know, beat the Patriots and not give them that first round bye. They're not going to beat the Patriots, but the points are so many, I'd grab them. Next game. Now, just listen, I've enjoyed my Christmas, and I have not paid attention to sport. I can't even tell you who the quarterback of the Panthers is right now. But the Saints, who have absolutely nothing to play for, are 7.5-point favorites against the Panthers in New Orleans. So that tells you how bad whoever the quarterback is. The total is 43.5. I don't expect a lot of Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas there on Sunday. But the Saints are giving 7.5 to the Panthers. Total 43.5. Scott, please tell the audience who the quarterback is.
Who is it?
Is it Kyle Allen?
It's you, Jimmy. You should have checked your text message. They kept on asking you to come.
It's like Gil Gilbert.
Kyle Allen, I think.
Kyle
Allen is just interesting because he's, if you're a recruiting dork for college football, Kyle Allen was a big
Texas
time
A&M,
recruit.
That Kyle Allen? Okay.
Supposed to replace Johnny Manziel and all that, and things haven't gone so well since then.
And, this is, honestly, you can't bet this game.
Yeah, exactly.
You just have no idea.
Like, you've got three degenerates in the room, and we're telling you to skip it. That's all you need to know right now, basically. Do not bet this game for your own benefit.
And the Saints have said, Drew Brees has said outright, Teddy Bridgewater is going to see action in this game. So,
And that's why the line's 7.5, because of Teddy Bridgewater right there,
He's going to play slot receiver, I believe.
Well, I wonder if even Taysom Hill will even what they'll do with him in this game. But all right, everyone skip that game. The next game, Dallas, nothing to play for, zero. So they're actually 6-point underdogs in New Jersey against the Giants. Giants -6 against Dallas. Dallas will not be playing anybody. Total 41.5, Gary.
Yeah, like the Giants in this one. Again, we're pretty much playing the motivation card at this point. And you'd think rookie head coach, quarterback is probably not going anywhere this offseason. I don't know who they'd possibly replace him with at this point. I think the Giants play out the string here and play hard in this one and get a cover against a Cowboys team that, as you said, Jimmy, can't move up, can't move down. Right. They just got to not get hurt in this one.
Yeah, you won't see Prescott or Ezekiel, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to play this game, but I just have to throw out there, why are the Giants so much better on the road than at home this year? Like, significantly.
There's a couple of teams, like Chargers are like that.
More significant with the Giants than with anybody, and it is night and day. They're giving some of these teams on the road a good run here. You know, Indianapolis, they should have won that game. Houston, they went down to Houston. They won outright.
Right.
Philadelphia in late November when Philadelphia was playing well, lost that game by 3. So if I had to play it, I would take the Giants just because I think if you're an NFL team and you're laying less than a touchdown against a team, not only doesn't have anything to play for, but has something to play for, staying healthy. That's what they have to play for.
Right.
Because of that, I would take the Giants here. But they've just been so awful at home that it would give you reason for pause. I think I would like them a lot better if their home road splits weren't so significant.
Yeah, and you know the Eli Manning thing. Who knows if this is? I don't think it's going to be his last game, but it could be. I would. The Giants will be in it. I'll put them in a teaser somewhere. I'll find something and I'll put them in a teaser. I don't want to lay the six, even with Dallas playing nobody. Another completely meaningless game. Two teams both out of it. Falcons giving one to Tampa Bay. Total 51.5, Scott.
I'll take the Falcons if I had to play it, but this is I slot this one right in with that Green Bay-Detroit game
right.
Where you know, nothing really to see here. Just move along. If I had to play it, I'd take the Falcons.
Gary?
Yeah, this is another one. Dirk Cutter said Ryan Griffin might see some action in this one. Otherwise, I think I might have leaned Tampa Bay, just thinking back to last year when they beat the Saints at home to wrap things up. But it seems like they are all out there signing each other's yearbooks and ready to move on with their lives. And I'll lean Atlanta in this one, though I won't.
I'll give you this. Since the start of 2016, Tampa Bay 3-11-2 against the spread when coming off a road loss. If you're into that kind of right. thing.
Yeah, that game's a hard pass for me. Now we finally have a game that means something.
Sorry, can I just throw
yeah,
out
yeah.
there? Can you believe last year, right? Last year, last week of the season, that NFC South games were the most compelling games. And here they are. Both of them are complete duds because you have three teams that were absolutely awful this season.
The Falcons really are one of the biggest mysteries because the talent, especially on offense, it is loaded with players on offense, so it's a real mystery
there.
Had
they kept on losing games 40-35, and we were sitting here and saying, 6-10 season, but look at all the points they gave up. The fact that offense disappeared for like a month there is
right.
is
you have those two running backs with Freeman and
Tevin Coleman.
And Tevin Coleman.
A lot of people think Tevin Coleman is better than
Julio Jones, Sanu, Jacob Tammy, tight end. Calvin Ridley this year, and then Matt Ryan.
Only one man can stop him, Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah. That's a huge NFL mystery right there. Good game. Finally, we get to one here. The Browns. How about the Browns season? Unbelievable. And who knows what would have happened if they would have never bothered with Hugh Jackson. They go into Baltimore, who can clinch the AFC North with a win. Ravens -6.5. Low total here for the NFL this season, 41. So you got Ravens -6.5, Lamar Jackson running all over the place. They need the win for the AFC North. Total 41 with the hot Baker Mayfield Browns coming to town. Probably the best 1 o'clock game, Gary.
Yeah, oh man, I really wish this was the flex game because I mean there's no doubt the Browns are gonna play to win this one and yeah, I mean, like you said, Jimmy, if you had moved on from Hugh Jackson and not gone through the sit Baker nonsense at the beginning of the year, they'd be playing for a division title potentially in this one. I really like the Browns in this one. I had almost forgotten this was when Baker was playing and Hugh was still coaching. They beat the Ravens in overtime at home earlier this year, and Baker did throw for 342 in that game. So if you're a little bit worried about that exotic Ravens defense overwhelming Baker, you can sort of put that to rest a little bit. But I think at the very least they're gonna hang around on this one. Maybe Justin Tucker kicks a 55-yarder to win it here or something like that. But I think I don't want to say this game is quite a pick'em type of game, but I think the Ravens are going to be the Browns are going to be right there.
Scott?
I like the Browns here, too. Yeah. I think they're going to put up a good fight, and it's been a completely different team post-Hugh. I mean, they have more wins in 7 games under Greg Williams than they had in 2.5 seasons under Hugh Jackson. And I just think if you look at what this team has done from the start of November, they're a formidable team. I mean, this is, you know, they're 5-1 in the last 6, 4-2 against the spread during that time, and the only win that wasn't a cover was last week, and they won by 8 against Cincinnati, a game that really wasn't in doubt. So, I like the Browns and the points here, especially when you consider the Ravens are not a team that's going to put up a ton of points, and unless they're playing the teams like the Raiders, like they were a few weeks ago. So, yeah, I'll take the points here in the Browns.
I actually like the over in this one. I have a feeling. This is going to be one of those games where I think Cleveland comes out and they throw it on every single down.
I like the over here, too.
And I keep waiting for the Lamar Jackson thing to go bust, but he's moving them along. And the total's so low at 41. I like the over in that game. The next game is, to me, the easiest game on the board. It is the Chiefs minus 13.5 at home to the Raiders, total 52.5. I'll go first and just say this. The Chiefs win, they get home field advantage. The Raiders put it all out last week to get their home win at their last game there in Oakland. This has got – now, listen, the Chiefs have not been the same since Kareem Hunt got cut. And it's been an issue, and it will be an issue in the playoffs for them. Their defense is pathetic. That will be an issue. This is going to be 48-13. I have no doubt about it. Scott?
I'm with you on this one, Jimmy. My favorite play in this game is Kansas City minus 7.5 first half line. The 13.5 really doesn't scare me that much, but this feels like the type of game where the Chiefs are up 24-3 at halftime.
Right.
And it just seemed like the Raiders did their celebrating on Christmas Eve, potentially shutting down that stadium.
Yep.
And
short
here they
week,
are.
Coming east.
Short week
well,
coming east for
coming
the early
Midwest.
Game. Well, yeah, but
yeah.
For the early game,
yeah,
you're right.
Right, right.
This just. And I'm with you with what Kansas City has, how they've struggled, but they haven't
right.
struggled against poor defenses, and this is a poor defense.
Right.
I would lay the points, and I love the first half laying 7.5.
Gary?
No, I'm in full agreement. Like you guys said, that Raiders win on Monday night felt like their Super Bowl, or dare I say their week two game against the Patriots, if you're looking at it from a Jaguars perspective.
Yeah, they there's an expression about the Raiders, but I don't think I can use it because it's too dirty. But it was all out there on Monday night. Let's just say that. Now we have heat. Now this game is an interesting one. Now we're going to the 420. Wait, let me just make sure. Okay, so the I should have noted this. Cleveland Baltimore starts the 425 slate. So Cleveland Baltimore, which we talked about, is a 425. Oakland KC is a 425. They push a ton of games to 425.
Oh, that's right. That's no longer the 1 o'clock game.
Right.
Right.
So we're in the 425s now. Bad job I made. I should have mentioned that. So we have another 425 game. The Bears go into Minnesota. Vikings need this win to get in the playoffs. The Vikings are giving 4.5. The total is 40.5. I don't think the Bears might be playing for a little seeding. I don't think they are.
They are. No, okay. They are. They can, if the Rams lose, Bears
only
win.
If the Rams lose to San Francisco can the Bears move up.
But those
play
okay.
at the same time.
Gotcha. Those games are going
to
happen.
All right, so it's Vikings minus 4.5 at home, needing the game to get in the playoffs. Total 40.5. Gary.
I like the Vikings in this one. I really do wonder, with the Mike Zimmer demand that they run the ball, going up against a team that completely overwhelms them as far as the front seven versus the offensive line. I mean, that's kind of what you saw when these teams played in Chicago a couple of weeks ago in that Sunday night game where Dalvin Cook was back and the Vikings, under Zimmer's command said we're gonna establish the run, and they didn't go anywhere, and they didn't move the ball until they went up tempo late in the game when it was too late. All that said, I like the Vikings. I just don't trust the Bears on the road, especially that offense, especially Mitch Trubisky. I don't think they can put up enough points.
You've guys have been saying that every week on this podcast. And there they are, 11-4.
Yeah, I know.
Got one of my best bet wins by a point last week. Hey. Had no business getting that. Scott, what do you got?
I like the Vikings, and the reason why is motivation for this game. So if the Bears, even if the Bears win, they're likely still the 3 seed. And you've got the Rams as the 2 seed. Now, if the Bears go all out to win this game, and they win, and the Eagles lose. Like, what I'm getting at here is the most likely scenario for the first round of the playoffs for the Bears is hosting the Minnesota Vikings.
Right. I know there's some formula here where the Bears might lose on purpose so they don't play the Eagles or something. Like, there's some weird thing, or maybe it's with the Rams. There's something involving the Eagles where one of these teams might want to lose on purpose.
If the Bears were to lose, the Eagles are out.
Right.
So the Vikings beat the Bears, the Vikings are in.
Right.
I just think it's more of a scenario of, I think the Bears are going to hold back the playbook because the most likely scenario is that they end up getting the Vikings in the first round,
right,
a divisional opponent, right? Now, the Vikings have to win this game, so the Vikings are going to show everything. I think you have a competitive advantage if you're holding some things back for the game that really matters.
Right.
And that's why I like the Vikings here, because I'm not convinced that the Bears are convinced that the 49ers are going to be able to beat the Rams.
Right.
And if the Rams beat the 49ers, this game essentially becomes meaningless for the Bears. And then it comes down to who would the Bears want to play? A Vikings team they just played and will have to re-game plan everything, or an Eagles team that is getting
fire.
Hot at right. the right time. So I don't think they're going to go out there and try and throw the game, but I also think that they're going to go with a kind of a very vanilla game plan here, so as to not give too much away to a team that they're likely to face the following week.
See, and I like the Bears for the reasons the opposite. I go against what you say from this standpoint. One, I think there is motivation to keep the Vikings out of the playoffs as a division rival for the Bears. And I'm not even talking about the Bears winning outright. They're getting 4.5, so I'm grabbing points here. So I think – and I don't, I disagree with the vanilla playbook from this standpoint. If this is a veteran team, a team that's in the playoffs every year, Patriots, Steelers, something like that, yes. But the Bears are still on the climb, and I don't think they can play that way. And I don't think their head coach is gonna, first year coach, I don't think he's going to keep it vanilla. I think they're going to go out to try to beat the Vikings. So being, and I don't, here's the other thing. I just don't love the Vikings. I think Cousins has been a weird fit for them, has not played great. I think it's going to be like a field goal game, so I'm going to take the – I think this game goes down to the – I think it's going to be close throughout, so I like getting the 4.5.
I don't disagree. I wish I could parlay this with Vikings-Bears first round of the playoffs, because I think the Vikings will win this game relatively comfortably, and I think the line will end up being around 4 for them playing at Chicago, and I think the Bears are going to – I think the Bears are going to have their way with them. I think a 24-13 type of game in the first round of the playoffs. But we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
All right. I like that we have disagreement there. The Steelers, who need to win this game and still need some help, I think, to get in the playoffs, even if they win, this explains why you're going to get a huge number here, are giving 14.5 points to the Bengals. Total 45.5. Listen, I've knocked the guy, but the Bengals have been Jeff Driscoll's been serviceable, but with the Steelers needing the game, it's a must win. The line is 14.5, total 45.5, Scott.
Too many points. It's just too many points. The Steelers shouldn't be laying this many points to a divisional rival. I mean, I know the Steelers have had their way with the Bengals through the years, but only 6 of the 33 games that Marvin Lewis has coached against the Steelers as the Bengals head coach have been decided by more than 14 points. This, to me, is a scenario where I just think the Bengals will continue to be competitive as they've been in recent weeks. I mean, they went on the road and lost by 5 against the Chargers. They lost by 8 against the Browns. I mean, they're losing these games by one score. They lost by 3 points at Baltimore. Those are the last 3 road games. So this team has not been a complete pushover. They've been playing better defensively in recent weeks. I just don't think that the Steelers, what they've done really since, I'd say over the last 6 games, they're flawed. They're not blowing anybody out. And actually, they're not even winning many of those games. They've won 2 games. They won by 7. They won by 4. To me, I would take the points here. I would certainly take the 14.5.
Gary?
The points are scary. I'm leaning Steelers for a couple of reasons here. One, at home. They're always much better offensively at home. Number 2, I mean, look, this is still a rivalry game. You got a sort of a mash unit of a Bengals team here. We'll see if Tyler Boyd suits up. If he doesn't, I don't see how the Bengals can hang around offensively. And
Boyd is leaning toward out.
He's leaning toward that, yeah. So it's you know, on top of that, I think the opportunity to just put up a huge number on the Bengals is too much for the Steelers to pass up. And, you know, plus you gotta impress the committee at this point, because maybe that's how they're going to get in.
I like the Steelers. I mean, 14.5 is so many, but I could see this being a beatdown, even despite Pittsburgh's problems lately. Jeff Driscoll going into Pittsburgh, I don't know. I cannot co-sign here on the Bengals. The Eagles, with Nick Foles desperately trying to get in, they need a win here at Washington, and then they need the Bears to beat the Vikings. Eagles giving 6.5 at Washington, total 42. Gary.
I'll keep riding the Foles bandwagon here. Yeah. Even if he doesn't have a monster game, I don't see how this Redskins offense. I thought the Redskins offense absolutely topped out last week in that Titans game. I thought that was the most they could possibly do in an afternoon. So
another great cover on one of my 4-0 and 1 it's, week.
It's, that one you earned, though. That one you really,
yeah,
really earned.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been brutal if that pick six at the end would have flipped that
were,
one.
They could have won that game at one point.
Yeah, they. I don't know. I think they put up like 9 points in this one, and if Foles puts up 20, you end up having an easy cover. And look, the way the Eagles defense has been going, you can get them if you have a downfield passing attack, and Washington doesn't have that. So yeah, I think the Eagles win this with relative ease, even if Foles comes back to earth a little bit.
Scott,
see, I think that's the key here, is that Philadelphia's weakness cannot be exploited by this Washington offense, and that's the key to this game. And it's not a lot of points to be laying here. I think the Eagles win this. I think they win it comfortably, and you know, they do that against a, you know, Redskins team that is banged up as any of these teams are.
I could not agree more with what Scott just said. I think this is a blowout, and the Eagles trounce and easily cover less than a touchdown. The Chargers go into Denver, and they are laying 6.5 points, are the Los Angeles Chargers. The total is 41.5. The Chargers, I think they're locked into the... No, they
long
they need,
shot.
Yeah, they need some
if they
help.
Win and the Chiefs lose to the Raiders, which isn't happening,
right.
Then the Chargers can actually get the bye.
Right. So what do you got on this one?
I think you have to go with the Chargers here. I think maybe my favorite angle on it would be the under, but you look at what the Broncos have done in recent weeks against some very, very weak competition, and I don't see how you can like Denver in any way, shape, or form here. Loss to the 49ers, a loss at home to the Browns, a loss at Oakland. It just doesn't seem like a team now that's, you know, the combination of injuries, Philip Lindsay's out. I don't even see this team showing up, even at home. Yeah. Even though their home road splits are something to pay attention to, this team is just reeling and losing to bad teams. And the
Chargers always play better on the road, so...
Right,
you know, you're laying less than a touchdown here, and the Broncos are decimated.
Right, and there's a little bit of a revenge factor, I think, with
the
Chargers having lost to the Broncos earlier in the season.
Gary,
no, I agree on everything there. The only thing that gave me pause is I do think the players in Denver like Vance Joseph, and I think they would probably like to go out on a high note for him, assuming this is probably his last game as head coach there. But I mean, that roster, this looks like a
decimated.
It's like what you see in preseason week four. Yeah. I mean, I just don't know how they can. They can hang in a game like this.
Yeah. Those receivers are awful.
Awful. Awful. And like you said, Scott, no Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
How does Denver even get to, you know, 13 points in this game?
I'm not sure, right? And, I mean, Denver games have been going under consistently this year. Actually, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Last 8 games have all gone under the total for Denver.
Yeah.
And it's not as low a total as I thought it might be. I thought this might be another one in the 30s.
Moving on, the Rams finally covered a game last week. Does it count? It came against the Cardinals, so I don't know. I mean, it counts in your wallets and where it's important. But the Rams need the game to keep this week to keep their number two seed. I think more importantly, they need to keep playing well and build on the momentum of last week. And they play another bad team. Rams at home laying 10 to the 49ers. The total is 48.5. I believe that's the highest one on the board. No, the Oakland KC, 52.5. This is the second highest one on the board in Week 17. Rams minus 10 at home to the Niners, 48.5, Gary.
I do love that over, and I like the Rams in this one. I think it's, you know, we'll see what kind of role Todd Gurley has in this game. You know, assuming that they do have a lead and they're protecting it, and obviously as we saw last week, CJ Anderson can sort of carry the load for a portion of this game if needed. But I think more than anything, the Rams' issues over the last month or so has been pass protection. The offensive line has not played well, and this 49ers team just doesn't really have a pass rush. It's DeForest Buckner, and it's three guys who can't get to the quarterback. So I think this is a chance for them to get right and put up 30-something points and win this one comfortably.
I'll just say this because I've bet against the 49ers the last 3 weeks in a row because they've been at home the last – they've played well. They've been close, and it's because of their defense. Their offense is putrid. Their defense has kept them in it. But that's three games at home. I have a feeling this one here might be a no-show, but we'll see. Scott?
On the road, they've been awful second half of the season. It's only the two games, but they lost at Tampa Bay 27-9. I mean, put up 9 points against that Tampa Bay defense is brutal. And then they got absolutely blown out in Seattle 43-16.
And there's motivation here for the Rams because they want to keep that two seed in the bye. So.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that this line wasn't one of those 13 or 13.5 type lines.
I think it's because people have seen the Niners play hard the last 3 weeks. They've kept their opponents to, I think the last three games, I think their opponents have been under 20, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, the Seattle game went to overtime. They beat Seattle 26-23. Right. But other than that, they gave up 14 to Denver and then 14 to the Bears.
Yeah.
But I like the Rams for most of the reasons Gary said.
And then the last 425 game in week 17 is those putrid and pathetic Arizona Cardinals. Going into Seattle, the Seahawks are laying 13.5. The total is 38.5. Scott?
I'm staying away from this one. You know, interestingly, or maybe not interestingly, if you're not interested, the road team in this head-to-head series won 9-1 straight up and 2-8-1 against the spread since the start of the 2013 season. So Arizona has played well in Seattle. The Cardinals are also 9-2 against the spread since the start of 2016 when coming off back-to-back losses. I can't play the Cardinals here, but I think there's enough supporting them that I would not lay this many points with the Seahawks. Seahawks don't have a ton to play
for. They're
not
playing for, they win, they keep the 5 seed, they lose, and some other things happen, they may get a 6 seed. So
The interesting part, though, the intriguing part, the motivating part, I would think, is getting to go to Dallas instead of having to go to Chicago.
Right, right.
Which is pretty huge.
Yeah.
But it's too many points for me to want to play the Seahawks here.
Gary?
And no, I agree. I have a slight Cardinals lean because it's just it's embedded in my soul at this point. But you know, we saw the Seahawks have a letdown game a couple of weeks ago at San Francisco. It's not an explosive offense. I know what they did to the Chiefs last week. Chiefs were playing a bunch of guys in the secondary who really don't belong on an NFL field outside of special teams play at this point. So, you know, whatever you think of the Cardinals, you still have Patrick Peterson. You still have Chandler Jones. You still have an NFL talent on defense, even if the coaching is maybe not there.
I'm with Scott. This is a stay away from me. I could see Seattle getting up, you know, 13-0, 14-0, maybe 17-3 at halftime, and then maybe giving Russell Wilson the day off. So I'd be nervous with laying that many points. So that's a stay away from me. All right, last game, Sunday night, it was flexed in, winning in. Whoever wins gets in the playoffs. Colts giving 3.5 at Tennessee. Colts Titans in this one. 43 is the total. Once again, Colts giving 3.5 to the Titans. 43. Gary.
I'm leaning Colts, and I'll give you the most simplistic reason that you could possibly use. It's Andrew Luck on one side, and the other side is going to be either a tingly armed Marcus Mariota, or it's going to be Blaine Gabbert. I think for that reason, I lean Colts. This is I mean, this is a really tough this is a tough game to pick here. And I love what the Titans have done this season. I wouldn't be shocked if they won this one by 10. But I think the luck factor has me leaning Colts.
Scott?
I just have a hunch here that the Titans are going to at least keep this close. So I'll take the points here.
Right,
I do
3.5.
I think it's a coin flip game. And, it feels to me like a 23-20 type game going one way or the other. And because of that, if I had to play it, I would take the Titans here. But I agree with Gary. It's a tough game to call. And I do think there's a little bit of a revenge factor with, Tennessee having lost so badly 28 points, 38-10 earlier in the year, that I just feel like the Titans are going to impose their will with the running game, and that this is going to be a 3-point game.
Yeah, and I did want to mention real quick, just on that Week 11 matchup they had in Indianapolis, I kind of throw that one out the window. That was when the Titans defensive coordinator, Dean Pease, was befallen with some sort of medical emergency before the game. It got out of hand pretty early. That was a 38-10 Colts win, but I don't think you can read a whole lot into that result.
Yeah, I've picked these teams wrong all year. I don't have a feel for this game. Whenever I pick one of these teams, they lose. I pick against them, they win. But I would go with the Gary method and just say, listen, Andrew Luck, that's where I'd put my money, not Marcus Mariota. Total 3. You love for the total to be 3 instead of 3.5. But I'd still go Andrew Luck in this one. All right. We've gone through the full slate for the last time this year. Next time we go through a slate, we only have a few games. This was it. And now for the final time in the 2018 regular season, it is time for our best bets. All right. We didn't do it at the top. Well, what was everyone's records last week? Because I was 4-0-1, so I want to squeeze that in.
Jimmy went unbeaten. Jimmy was a 4-0-1.
I was 3-3. I brought up the rear last week.
All right.
I went 4-2.
Oh, all right. All right. So, Scott, kick us off here, week 17. Excuse me. Yeah, week 17. Best bets.
I got a 6-pack. It is a variety. I've got two sides. I've got two overs, and I've got two unders. The sides I'm going to go with is Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. -6.5.
Just think they're going to win that game relatively easily. And for the reasons I pointed out, I'm going to lay the 4.5 with Minnesota going against Chicago. Those are my two sides. A couple of unders I'm going to give you is under in the Patriots-Jets game. That's under 44.5, which I believe opened at 47, so there's been some sharp money on the under there. I just don't see the Jets putting up more than 10, 13 points in this one, the way New England's been playing defense at home. I'm also going to go under in Pittsburgh-Cincinnati under 45.5. This is a rivalry game. These teams do tend to play low-scoring affairs. My two overs, I'm going to go over in Cleveland-Baltimore. I do think Cleveland's going to play an aggressive-type game that's over 41. And then I'm going to go over 48.5 in the Rams-49ers game. I feel like that the Rams are going to get things right offensively, and there's going to be some points in that one. So that is my 6-pack. Keep it for New Year's, and hopefully you can turn it into some good New Year cheer.
Gary?
All right, I got 7 for you, and we'll transition. I'll do my totals first. I also have over in that 49ers-Rams game. Not only do I like the Rams bouncing back in that, Nick Mullins playing some decent football. I think the 49ers can help push that over 48.5. I'm taking the under in Houston-Jacksonville, that's under 40. For the obvious reasons. As far as sides, I got 5 of them. I'm going Chiefs, -13.5 versus the Raiders. I also have the Eagles, -6.5 at Washington. Taking the Browns, +6.5 at Baltimore. I'm going to take the Chargers, -6.5. At Denver, and I'm going to do it. This might be my last chance to best bet a Blake Bortles game. So,
oh, my God.
I'm going to do it. Jacksonville +6.5 at Houston.
You don't think he'll end up in the Alliance Football League and, Brad Childress will lead him to a couple of good backdoor covers?
Oh, my God. How could you? I got five for you, and we have a lot of crossover here. I'll give you the one different game. The one game I have that neither of the boys have here. I'm going under 39.5, Miami-Buffalo. It's a 13-6 game if I ever saw one. I'm going to go over 41, Browns-Ravens. Chiefs, -13.5. Eagles, -6.5. Chargers, -6.5. The five for me in the last week of the 2018 regular season. We wish everyone out there good luck with the wagers. We will be back next week to get our first playoff show underway. We wish you all a happy new year, and we will see you next week on the MMQB Gambling Podcast.
Have a profitable New Year's, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.